Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream. Very long time.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with the guys from Scream Factory. Up in Redcar we have Steve Tate, events organiser, and Andy Tate, casting director. We talked to him all about this year's event, how it's going to be COVID secure, and how they've grown over the last 9 years of scaring. So without any further ado, let's welcome Steve and Andy, both from Scream Factory, onto the Scare Track Podcast.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi folks, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am here with Stephen and Andy Tate from Scream Factory. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us. Thank you. Cheers, yeah.
Great to have you on. Really, really do appreciate it. Scream Factory, it's returning for its 9th year this year with 9 COVID-secure attractions. And before we get onto the whole big elephant in the room of COVID and being COVID-secure and whatnot, 9 years, that's impressive. I mean, it's I'm guessing it's just grown year on year, really.
Yeah, we're really, really happy, to be honest with you, mate. It's we started off at the in 2012 with a very shaky start. You know, people in the Northeast didn't really understand what a Halloween haunt was.
Yeah.
We didn't want to advertise what we did because obviously we wanted to keep the element of surprise. So we'll keep it very low key, but of course, keeping it low key doesn't really market very well, and nobody came to the event, basically. So, yeah, it was...
But I'm sure that's definitely changed over the years now.
Yeah, we learned our lesson very quickly, yeah. And so it's, so it's just grown year on year, and yeah, and we're really happy with the results so far, yeah, good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, unfortunately, I'm yet to visit Scream Factory. You're about 4 hours away from us, and that's no excuse whatsoever. But there's only so many days in October, isn't there? I am hoping that changes this year, so I can get up there and experience your attraction. Your multi award winning attraction for myself, which is open this season. So, listeners, get your tickets now. Screamfactory.co.uk. Get your tickets. Very few places being able to open. Open season, and again we'll get onto COVID in a little bit, but if anyone like me haven't actually visited Scream Factory, it's an event that runs slightly different to other Scream parks, isn't it? Can you explain on how this event sort of runs? It's like one long continuous attraction with multiple attractions inside, isn't it?
Yeah, we're different to a Scream park. Like Scream park's like a theme park, isn't it? Well, what we do is we have a linear tour. So we have multiple elements, but you two of them, one after the other. So there's only ever one queue, so you queue once, and then once you're out on the tour, you just the scares come thick and fast, and the tour lasts roughly about an hour. Normally,
wow.
We've had to make some adjustments this year for obviously COVID, so it's things we'd like to add, which obviously we'll talk a little bit about in a minute. But yeah, it's great, and. And if you do enjoy this kind of entertainment, it goes really quickly. But if you don't like this particular kind of entertainment, we understand it lasts a lifetime. So it's really what you're into. But yeah, so it's just one house, one maze after another. So.
Yeah, definitely. And in tennis, like I say, unfortunately, I haven't been able to visit myself and Hannah, but it does come extremely highly recommended from, you know, people within the industry. Callum and Frankie from Scream Camp and the Pumpkin Podcast rave about you guys. Lee and Sarah from Faceless Ventures, they never miss a season of visiting Scream Factory. Let's talk a little bit about your location. So you're in Redcar, but it's set in the grounds of an old haunted nursery behind Kirkleatham Museum. You can't get a better location than that, surely?
No, you can't. There's been a hospital on this site, wow, offering medical services since 1736. So it's got a long history, this site, and it's been populated since then. And the architecture bears witness to that. You know, some quite Gothic architecture locally. And there's the old church there, which is as far back as the 1736. So, yeah, it's got a lot of history. The people from what do we call them? I can't remember the name's called.
Kirkleatham.
No.
Where are we again?
The paranormal.
Oh, the paranormal.
There we go. There's bunch. The paranormal folk.
We can do this in the edit. So the investigators have it is a place of interest, so
perfect. Real scares and enhanced scares that you guys give us as well.
We do our best.
Definitely. So a perfect location, like I say, in Redcar. So guys, get up there and check it out this season. And you have the Aftershock Bar and End Village as well. Is that sort of like a place to, and again, it's going to have to be slightly different this year because you don't want too many people congregating in one space. But I suppose that's just the perfect place for once people have had a scare, a fright, that they're able to, you know, grab something to eat and get a drink as well.
Yeah, we've always been limited to the amount of people we could put through the event because of the car parking.
Right.
Just last year, they've increased the car park. The facility now will host maybe, I don't know, 600-700 cars now we can park comfortably. So it's allowed us, up until this point, we were restricted. So we put people through the event. As soon as it was finished, it was thanks very much, goodbye. And it's so people weren't allowed really just to relive what's happened and socialise. But with that, with the addition to the new car park, we've now been able to put in, last year, for the first year, was to put these additional leisure facilities in, and we've created a nice little arena there just for people to just to catch their breath. Worked very well. The first year last year, it worked really well.
Perfect. Excellent. And of course, this year is going to be a little bit of a weird one, but I'm sure that will only grow, in 2021 and years to come as well. So I mean, you've been going for 9 years now. What made you want to start up a haunted house, a scare event? How you say 2012 was a little bit of that rocky year, but what made you want to go out and create something like this sort of entertainment?
Well, to be honest with you, mate, myself and Andrew have always been in the fire and flood restoration business. So we're dealing with people on a day-to-day basis who've lost somebody or something as a result of a horrible incident, you know, a real-life nightmare.
Wow,
what we have is we've got lots of men lots of men and women who work for us who have got multi-skills. So the builders, you know, electricians, plumbers, you know, all the skills, you know, all trades. And there's times when the services aren't really required. And
of course,
you've got to be available when they say. So if we have a major incident, the insurance company will expect us to send out X amount of vans with X amount of skilled people. But when the lads aren't at work, you know, they can only sweep the warehouse floor and wash the vans so many times. So we came up with business within a business. And it seems a little bit obscure, but it works really well because when the lads aren't out and about, they can actually stop, build sets, you know, build props, you know, do all that kind of work in preparation for the event. And then when the insurance companies require us, they pick the van up and just leave and then go off and do that job, then come back and you know, pick up where they left off. So it's a perfect marriage, really, and we're not really upsetting. There's not many other industries we could have gone into which would have been so flexible.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we did it. So we've, it allows two things. One, when we go to the event, people are in a happy party mode, not in, you know, not in their usual day-to-day work. And also, when the lads are quiet, it allows them to drop off, and they're still kept busy, basically. So that's why we did it. That's the first thing, Andy, isn't it?
Yep, that's pretty much how it worked.
And we just, but we love these, we've always loved Halloween. We've always been big on decorating our houses, you know, for Christmas and seasonal kinds, all that kind of stuff.
Well, even the woods, which are just over the other way where we had our first year in, we played as lads in them woods and scared people and you know, jumped out of trees and all the things lads would do in the 70s and 80s. Maybe he's in the 90s as well.
Yeah, keep it going, yeah, totally.
He's often found in bushes.
We still get over there now and again. No, no, that's a lie. But our very first event, we held it in them woods where we grew up. So it was really special for me, that one. That was the best one, I thought. I know it didn't hit off and we didn't make any money. In fact, we went bankrupt in the first year.
Wow.
But it was great because we were doing something that we talked about years and years ago as kids.
Yeah, yeah. The nostalgia and the memories are there. You know, who cares about the money as long as the memories are there, right?
Well, it wasn't my money.
he had a great time, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's always better when it's someone else's money, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I mean, I've asked that question to a number of people and I guarantee not only here in the UK, but around Europe and the world, I guarantee no one else would give the same answer as you guys to why did you start a scare event? And that's a fantastic way. Like you say, it's a perfect marriage of a business within a business that basically keeps you busy when you're not having to do the jobs that that you have to go out from time to time and do. So, yep. Like you say, perfect chance to have skilled people. So that was my next question, really. Everything's built in-house, created by yourselves, developed by yourselves. You create everything at Scream Factory?
Yeah, it's a, it is a... When you come along, mate, you'll see what I mean. We call it rustic. Other people call it rustic.
There's another word for it, but we won't say that on air.
We're going to have to start bleeping stuff in a minute.
It is. It's a case of lots of between cable ties, gaffer tape,
yeah,
and the dark.
Yeah, and the dark. Yeah, it's built for the dark. Yeah, yeah. That's a really good word to describe it. Scream Factory is built for the dark.
But, I think you guys don't give yourself enough credit. I'm looking at your video here. It looks very good to me.
Yeah, it's we play it down. We work really hard, Mikey, we do, and we've got some very talented, skilled people who work with us. We're a family, and we all work together, basically. But there is a lot of our work goes in behind the scenes, and we are proud of what we do.
Definitely. And you can tell, you know, like I say, even though I haven't been to the event, you can tell even just from, you know, looking at my phone, looking at my computer screen, the marketing team, the social media team, your website's fantastic. And obviously looking at all reviews. And like I say, people within the industry are raving about Scream Factory as well. So and of course, you've won Scar Awards as well at ScareCon. So, I'm very excited to visit. I'm sure lots of people listening to this podcast, if they've not visited before, they'll be checking out your website as well. And guys, click that link below in the show notes so you can get your tickets as well, folks. So you sort of started off with those humble beginnings. It was a bit of a rocky start. It's now turned into you know, an annual event. And you don't just do Halloween. You do is it Valentine's and Christmas as well?
Yeah, we do a My Bloody Valentine's event, which is still scary. You know, we still offer that. But it's more tongue-in-cheek, isn't it?
It's more funny as well. We put a lot of humour into the Valentine's because it's 18+, so we can have a little bit more risque fun, if you like.
Oh, I need to come up for that one then, right up my street.
I promise you, you will have some fun.
It is a good laugh, yeah, I admit that.
Definitely. And then, of course, Christmas as well.
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, this year has restricted us from Christmas because of the numbers.
Of course.
We do a thing called Dine with Santa.
Nice.
And yeah, if you're this is a yeah.
He wouldn't look good in a mascot, would he, Santa?
No.
That's a good point. You'd have to get one to cover the whole beard.
yeah, carry your bag of sugar.
Yeah. Just get sponsored by Tesco or something.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Have a little hope, so.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Like that. And you also it's not just for adults, you obviously Scream Factory, I'm checking out your website now, you advise that it's a 14+ for the sort of Halloween Scream Factory event, but you have a 3+ event with the Children's Twilight Tour. Is that a similar sort of thing, but slightly toned down just for the little ones?
Yeah, exactly that. We hide everything scary so you'll see no blood or gore or any of that. Everything's covered over. The kids will walk around the event and hear nice, pleasant stories from characters you'll recognise from storybooks. Mm-hmm. And they'll be given treats from the characters that they meet. So it's just a big trick or treat, really.
Yeah.
And it's ideal because, again, we've got the facilities, so why not use them, really?
Absolutely.
It's a long day. It's a long, long day, isn't it? So yeah. You might as well use it. And when the lights are on, of course, you can't do anything for scary, so let's entertain the little ones.
Yeah, no, absolutely, it makes sense. And again, it gives them a safe, fun, atmospheric place to, like you say, have a little bit of a Halloween treat, really, with a bit of trick-and-treating and whatnot. So we need to talk about, obviously, this season of Scream Factory, back for your 9th year. Of course, we have had COVID this year. And I'm sure that's affected you guys in multiple ways, obviously, when it comes to releasing tickets, how many tickets you can do. Obviously, the guidance, they haven't exactly given definitive guidance of what exactly a scare. I don't think the government know what a scare attraction is, to be honest. So it's got to have come with a few difficulties, even with casting as well, obviously having to cast people in a whole socially distant manner. Has it been an absolute nightmare for you, or has it just made you guys think outside of the box when it comes to the 2020 season of Halloween with coronavirus?
Well, to be honest, Mikey, we are a restoration company, so we deal with soot and we deal with bloodborne pathogens. Right. You know, we deal with all the nasty things in life, so we deal with a lot of contaminant.
Of
so we call it cross contamination. So the guys, whatever they're working with, they don't take home with them.
Right.
Where with coronavirus, it's called infection control. So it's a perfect marriage with our skill sets from the restoration business. It just marries really well with the control measures, which we've now introduced into running the event. So to some people, it will be alien. If you work in an office, for instance, you're not really used to wearing a mask and gloves and paper suit and going through sanitizing all the time. Where with the guys we employ, our team, it's just everyday common practice.
Right.
So the risk assessment and the method statements really have just lend themselves perfectly for what we're doing now with running this event.
Yeah.
So it hasn't difficult for us as it could have been, and others might be facing, but yeah, the we've had to change lots of things. And at the end of the day, I was on a podcast not long ago, and we're talking about that we're, as humans, we're storytellers, and that storytelling goes way back to when we were looking at in caves, looking at the flames flicking against the wall of the cave, and we know. To tell a ghost story, you mentioned it earlier, we're talking about putting the lights on to scare the kiddies, but it can be quite difficult to tell a ghost story with the lights on.
Of course.
And that's the difference. To this, every other year, we've been able to tell the same story and use all those tricks of the trade, where this year, we can't plunge everyone into darkness because as they're going wandering through, they're touching everything, and how do we know what they've touched? And
yeah,
you know, it's a cleaning concern, and that, you know, keeping the place sanitary. How do you do that? So these are the changes we've had to make, mm-hmm. Along with everyone else. So we've had to come up with a different story to tell, and that's what we've done.
Yeah, definitely. You had to, like you say, because of your quote-unquote day job as such, it does sort of translate very well into creating a hashtag COVID secure event. And just looking at your website again, whilst I'm chatting to you guys, you can definitely tell, compared to not just other scare attraction websites, but just website of attractions and establishments, especially leisure and tourism and events sort of websites, things like that. You guys, it's literally on your first homepage. You tell us about the event. You tell us about dates, a little bit of information of what the event is actually. But then there's so much information on your COVID safety measures as well. Is that something that you guys are obviously extremely at the front of your mind, in the fact that you guys know it's safe? You guys behind the scenes can write the 100-page risk assessments and have everything in place, but it's the consumer confidence, isn't it? Is that why it's, you know, so prominent on your website? You want to make sure that you know, fans of Scream Factory and anyone coming to visit the event know that it is a safe place to visit this Halloween.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's something which we talked about right at the very front end of all this, because it's been with us for a long time now.
Yeah.
And we've been up in the deep light, keeping our eye on the developments. Only very close to us, they've just brought in to Durham County in Newcastle. They've just put real strong, stringent measures in today, which are rolling out. And at the moment, we're privileged, because that region, you know, in that region, they've got these problems where the government guidance being so stringent, But with us, it's a little bit more relaxed. But what we decided right from the very front end was we didn't want anyone at all to come to this event, whether it's a member of staff or, you know, one of the vendors or a member of the public, and they're not in any particular order, by the way. But we didn't want anyone to come along and take this horrible, nasty little virus home with them, because they contracted it.
Yeah.
So we looked at it had to be safe. And that's what really our drive's been throughout.
Definitely.
But then, of course, we want to come along and get value for money.
Yes.
That's very important. Because the last thing we want anyone to believe that, Scream Factory, all they wanted was our cash. You know, they didn't really care about the current condition. You know, they didn't really care about us. They just wanted our money. And then the third element was we want to walk away saying that was really good value for money. Mm-hmm. Despite everything, you know, we felt comfortable. We felt relaxed, and you know what? We were able to have a really good time. So the customer confidence is first and foremost in our minds.
Yes, yeah.
Because if you're going to go somewhere and you don't think you're going to have a good time, you know what? You probably won't.
Yes, yeah.
So we went through the gates feeling, oh, yeah, you know what? These people know what they're doing, and we feel comfortable, we're going to have a good time. And you know what? They're probably won't.
Definitely. Also, on your website, I can see that you're working with an independent contractor as well to sort of oversee all the COVID secure stuff. Can you explain to the listeners a little bit about that company and what they're doing with you guys?
Yeah, that's right. We're working with Stay Safe Hospitality. They're a company that specialise in event and hospitality health and safety. We've worked with a lot of health and safety consultants over the years, but this is really refreshing working with Richie Higgins and his team, because they know a lot about the event business, and so he's able to direct and guide us through based on hospitality rather than just like a generic kind of risk assessment. So he's been able to do site specific, and with all the COVID stuff as well, it's been really good, and he's been so easy to work with, and we're really, really happy that we actually took the decision to actually work with Stay Safe Hospitality.
Yeah, definitely. They sound like a fantastic company to work with. And this is year one. Who knows, year two, year three, year four, they can continue working with you guys and potentially help other haunt owners, scare attraction owners around the UK as well. Awesome. And what are just a couple of the measurements that you guys are taking? I was just coming up to you guys, you know, opening night, and it's it's a COVID secure event. What kind of things can I expect? I'm guessing I'll have to wear a mask. I'm guessing there's hand sanitizer. I'm guessing it's group bubbles of six only. What kind of things can we expect on a visit to Scream Factory?
Well, normally,
every time you ask a question, we point to each other. I'm just pointing at Steve.
So if you're a member of staff coming here, you won't be able to socialise as you would have done last year.
Right, yeah.
So there's no hugging. So that's, you know, and part and parcel, one of the things we've also talked the actors about and the members who are working with us is we want them to have a good time as well, because we don't want them to feel that they're so isolated that there isn't camaraderie. So that's been a very fine balance as well, because we want them to have a good time, because they enjoy doing what they do. And so we don't want to be, we don't want to rain on that parade. So big changes for them. So the way we distribute the costumes is going to be different. The makeup's going to be different. That's all happening. So members of staff will notice a big change. The punters, the visitors, when they arrive, again, the social distance thing is, they're going to notice that. But do you know what? That's going to be a benefit to them, because one of the criticisms all scare attractions get is the groups are too big, or, you know, the actors were coming at me from the back and, you know, I was at the front, or and vice versa. And so the group sizes are going to be reduced to six, which we've done. But I do think that's a benefit for people. There's going to be bigger gaps between, because we need time to cleanse certain areas where they are touching handrails and there is touch points which need to be cleaned down in between groups. So that's going to be better as well, because there's, you know, one of the things you can be criticised for is bunching up, so the groups do catch up, because we don't know how fast people move. Some travel really slow, don't they, and some travel to one sprint through it. And we do everything we can to prevent that, but, you know, people move at different paces, which we've got no control over. So that's going to be something which they'll enjoy, I think. It'll be more isolated between the groups, so I think that's going to be great.
It's also made us think a lot harder about the actual event and the scare itself. So some of the things that will happen this year would not happen normally because you haven't got that opportunity, because they won't be moving slow enough to accept what is actually going on around them. So it's given us a little bit of an opportunity, really, to use the negative and turn it into a positive.
Yes, definitely, absolutely. I totally agree. Smaller groups and things like that, it's just going to benefit the visitor anyway, and they'll get more scares. It'll be just an all-around better experience, I think.
Yeah, without doubt.
And for the staff, because one of the things we had to do, we have 10 zones, and we've had to have a team leader in all 10 of those zones. Mm-hmm. And because the team leader wouldn't work in a zone now, because the team leader would usually be in costume and he would move around, he or she, and they would move around and talk to each actor, make sure they're okay and everything, are they hydrated and all the usual things. And if there's an emergency, that person would then go to one of that group of 10 to attend to.
Yeah.
Rather than do that this year, we've installed a COVID marshal who isn't in costume, who moves around outside of each zone,
right?
But can actually hear through the walls of what's going on. And there's three, we've actually got four of those guys in place this year, whereas we would have had 10 team leaders. We've got four COVID marshals, which are trained, know exactly what they need to do in that sort of serious situation as well. So it's actually, it's given us an opportunity to change the way we do things, manage even with the management.
Definitely, yeah.
So again, it's a positive, really, because it's all, something we've always wanted to do, but never had the time to. But it's been forced upon you, so you're going to have to do it. So it's kind of like, it's like that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Which is great.
And it's something as well, although this whole pandemic, the coronavirus, it's grim, it's horrible, it's not a nice place. The world isn't feeling like a nice place at the moment. But I do think, looking back in years, there will be some positives that potentially come out of it. And because we've all had to think out of a box, the box a little bit when it comes to all of our style of attractions and whatnot. They're things that could potentially be implemented in years to come anyway, and again, just to help us grow and improve, think outside the box and make it an all-round better experience. You mentioned your staff, and obviously there's lots of actors within this event as well. We co-run the Scare Actors group on Facebook, which is the largest collection of scare actors in the UK. If you're a scare actor, 9 times out of 10 you follow that group. Are you guys still looking for any actors? I understand you've run a few auditions already. A good friend of our show, Andy Longmore, bless him, he's joined you guys. Pagan, I know they've all gone up there to join you guys. Have you finished your auditions now, or have you got any more for any latecomers?
No, we have closed the doors for the auditions at the moment, and we had a massive response this year. And like you've just mentioned, Andy Longmore, Pagan Hollis and Katie Chapman, mm-hmm. they've come down, travelled such a long distance to be part of this event.
Definitely.
And that wouldn't happen in any other time, you know, that sort of thing. So to see this quality of an actor come and travel so far, I mean, don't get me wrong, we have quality actors.
Yes,
in TSA, the best I'd put up against anybody. But what I'm saying is it's great to see these people from other areas coming down. And to watch them perform in front of me in auditions was just like, well, this is unbelievable. In fact, we asked Andy Longmore if he would do a presentation for us at our boot camp, which was on Saturday, just gone.
Yeah.
He did the scare chair, which went down an absolute treat. It's not one I've ever done at boot camp before. We've done many others, but that was fantastic. And to see the response from our actors and the excitement really worked. So to try to involve other events, I think, is great as well.
Yes.
To see, you know, how they train their actors, what they do with their actors is fantastic. We've got guys who've come over from York Maze as well. Absolutely fantastic. So the auditions this year were unbelievable. The best year ever.
I was only chatting to Andy yesterday. We went to the Orton Towers Oktoberfest event, and we spoke to Chris Carter, the head of entertainments at Scarefest, and we were discussing how much he enjoys coming up to you guys and how the event is going to be insane this year, as it is every other year. And yet, like you say, it's great that people can come from other events. The fact that the downside is that many actors might go without a job this season purely because there's less events going on. But again, it's beneficial to you guys and to other actors to change it up a little bit, to go to different events, to try something new, to try a different style of event, because you're very different to, like you said earlier, to your standard, if you will, sort of screen parks.
Yeah, you know, the actors call themselves the Scream family, and that was something which they came up with. But as far as the actors are concerned, unbelievable. And we talk about family, and you know, there's more to family than blood, isn't there? And we've got an extended family who are fantastic. They're just a really, really good bunch, strong team. And right from year one, when things didn't go brilliantly, the actors were just with us right throughout, and they've stood by us right the way through. So yeah, we're really pleased about the team we have.
It's great for the community. I think we have a great sort of scare community. There's always 500 of us at ScareCon, and it's always having a fantastic time. And I feel that this is definitely the year that we kind of need to try and look after each other a little bit. You know, in America, in the States, they have like a Halloween board that give them guidance and help and benefits and discussions. And here in the UK, we don't have that as much, you know, especially when it comes to this year. There's not been as much as I'd hoped that we could potentially have in terms of helping each other out and, you know, thinking what can we do to push forward with this year and whatnot. You know, we've spoken to a few people in the States, and we've got their COVID sort of guidelines and whatnot to try and pass over here. But I'm waffling now because I'm getting too excited about this Halloween, but it's great the fact that they can come up there, they can act for you guys, and like I say, just try a different style of scare event.
Yeah, and I do, and because obviously we've got people from other events coming into our little event, and you know, this is dirty washing time now, isn't it? Because they're going to see everything warts and all. Mm-hmm. You know, so we said, "Oh, look, we don't really want anyone coming through. You know, we're quite happy, you know, and rejecting people." Yeah. But no, we are wide open, and one of the things I've always been impressed with, going back with Stuart Bill from Tully's and with Mike Bolton, you know, just there just to help. They're there, and no matter what question you ask, they've been honest and can't and tell you how they do it, where they buy that from, and you know, and that's one of the things I've always liked about this particular industry.
Yeah.
It's very open and honest with each other. You know, I was able to go on a webcast not long ago. That was with Mike Bolton and a few other Scare Attraction owners.
Yeah.
One afternoon, and he did one there, and I think you're right, Mike. There hasn't been very much going on.
Mm-hmm.
There've been a couple in America which I've been able to sit on, but yeah, there's been very little. And but yeah, we're open. If anyone's got any questions they'd like to ask us, or you know, any help we can offer. I know it's a bit late in the day now. But yeah, we're wide open to offer any help we can, and
definitely,
you know, and cross from what we know as our real business to and how we've been able to do the transition to the event.
Of course.
Can I just say if there are any actors out there that are listening and want a job for this Halloween, to still message us, because you never know what's going to happen. God forbid anything bad does happen, but we've got to keep the event open if we've advertised and sold tickets to do so. So you know, if there's any actors out there that do want to work and haven't got it sorted out, send us a message.
Definitely,
just
send a message. And obviously, you can get all the contact details at the website, and that's the best place to get tickets as well, guys. Scream Factory on their website. Get a ticket now. www.screamfactory.co.uk UK, and lots of information on there as well, including the Charles Twilight tour. And I think that brings us to the perfect end, guys. I mean, I want to say a huge thank you for coming on to Scare Track. Really, really do appreciate it. And I really appreciate how this has got to be one of the hardest years for you guys, and it's going to be a tough year to open. But still, if anyone can do it, it definitely seems to be you guys, doesn't it?
Well,
you know, with what you do from day to day, you know, it makes sense. Yeah. Like you say, the perfect marriage.
It's something we do know a little bit about, and so it hasn't been as daunting.
But we'll let you know on the 1st of November.
But yeah, when once public health has been down, we'll let you know it will.
Definitely.
But no, we're excited about this year's event. We've got. Do you remember when the Masked Magician came out and he revealed lots of tricks and the industry was up in arms?
I loved that for all the wrong reasons, because I used to love magic and now I just love knowing how they do it. But yeah, I remember that.
And the industry was upset because, you know, the magic fraternity was just saying, well, look, this is a disgrace. Magicians rely on this, these tricks. But when he came out and he said why he did it, the guy behind the show, he said, look, all I've done is revealed these old antiquated techniques because I think the public need better now. And then the David Blaine were born, weren't there? And the Darren Browns were born. And so magic went to a different level.
Yes.
And they got rid of these old parlor tricks which have been, you know, coined and turned out for 100 years. But I think the COVID, as Andy said earlier, is having forced us into making and inventing and creating different techniques, you know, because the old ones, we can't just stick people in dark tunnels anymore, you know, and we can't do that. You're not allowed. So we've had to put the lights on. So, but we still have to scare people.
Yes.
You know,
and value for money. Now.
And it's about value for money and people. So this is one thing which we've done, and so it hasn't all been bad. It's forcing us to tell a different story, and that's the bit I'm really tickled about. And I want to see. We always stand every year. We stand at the end of the event, and just see what people's reaction is as people are coming out. And when we do that, we're really nervous. Every year we start, and the first couple of nights we're nervous to see how people are going to respond to the show. This will be definitely one of those years.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We're excited to see how it's going to go with the new type of scare, because we can't intimidate. We can't get in people's ears anymore. We can't get really up close, and all the things which we've been able to do, the intimidations, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. So we have had to come up with different ways of scaring, and that's been a challenge, and that's the bit we're excited to see how people are going to take to it, really.
Yeah, I was going to say it's challenging, but exciting at the same time. I'm excited to experience it. I'm sure everyone listening is as well. I think that brings us to the perfect end. So, Stephen, Andy, from Scream Factory, one, a huge thank you for coming on to the Scare Trek podcast. I know you guys are mega crazy busy at the minute getting ready for the season that opens just in a few weeks' time now. Best of luck for this Halloween season.
Yeah, thank you, Mikey. Thanks for having us on. Great. Fantastic.
Thanks, Mikey. Thank Cheers, you. Buddy.
Cheers. You're listening to
Scaretrack. Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scaretrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared.
So there we go, folks. A huge thank you to Steve and Andy for coming on to the Scaretrack podcast. Sincerely do appreciate it. They're busy men at the minute, getting ready, obviously, for this year's Scream Factory event. An event that is going to sell out, guys. I guarantee it. They can have less people through the attraction this year because of COVID. So make sure you get your ticket before they sell out. Just click that link in the show notes below. Before we end this episode, we need to give a quick shout out to Smart Effects, our merchandise store. We have some brand new merch. You can now get your very own Scaretrack logo face mask. Rep the Scaretrack podcast whilst you're out at your favorite scare attractions this season. Just go to our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk. Also, be sure to follow us on all our social media pages as usual so you don't miss anything. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Scaretrack. Also, we have lots of content going out on our YouTube platform this week as well, youtube.com/Scaretrack. Click that little bell notification whilst you're subscribing as well so you never miss an episode of Scarecam, Coaster Track, and of course, Hannah's Beer Break. So that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon. Bye, folks.